unfortunately, he's dead. But the Cubs are still alive. The great, late Steve Goodman, by request from Nancy on your radio friend. He's also still alive to see this excitement. He is Mr. Racine and Racine's number one Cub fan, Mark Eichhorst.
Last night at the Ramac Awards Banquet, they introduced their new president. Just announced last week, it's Matt Montemaro, and he has agreed to be our guest. He'll be taking over the position in mid-November, but he, too, is an avid Cub fan.
Well, how could anybody not be at this point, really, Mark, when you come right down to it?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, after 100 and some years of futility, to be this close again, it's exciting.
Last time the Cubs were in the World Series was 1945. The last time they won a World Series was 1908. How was that series?
I wasn't there.
Oh, okay.
Neither one.
But he's here, and if he's here, we must be in a community conversation. He's Mark Eichhorst. This is his tag team partner, Glenn Klein, and they are Deputy Jeff Thompson of the Racine County Sheriff's Office and Lieutenant Ed Lockhart of the South Shore Fire Department. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing well.
Sorry to have to put up with all this silliness, but what are you going to do? This community conversation on WRJN is being brought to you by St. Monica Senior Living. So, firefighter, cop, right?
Correct.
Did you guys go to the Battle of the Badges?
I did not. I didn't attend either.
Do you know about it?
I do know. Yep. Our department hosts that.
It does?
Yep.
The fire department on the South Shore?
Yep. South Shore Fire Department.
James Kelly of the Mount Pleasant.
Yeah. Mount Pleasant.
Actually, yeah. I should... misspoke. Mount Pleasant Police Department hosts that, put on by James Kelly.
James Kelly Jr., another great Chicago Cubs fan.
Yes, he is. Him and his wife.
So what? So, but they get in, the firefighters fight the cops, and vice versa. And Lieutenant Lockhart, when is the last fight you have been in?
Oh, that's back in my high school days, and we're not going to talk about that.
Well, we just did. You're a lover, not a fighter.
I do not fight.
You got to be a lover to be a first responder. What caused you to join the fire department?
Actually, I had an interest in becoming a fire investigator, not so much firefighter, but that was the avenue in to do fire investigation. Through that, also got involved in EMS, obviously, on the rescue squad and ambulance back in the 90s, and in about 95 became full-time and started investigating fires finally in 2006.
What is the most harrowing fire that you've ever fought?
Probably Diamond Head Fire on Spring Street back in 2001, I believe.
What was that one like?
That was a bad fire. We had 27 people trapped, if I recall. I was pumping at that fire, and one fatality when all was said and done. We lost one building, heavy fire damage to another second building.
We also have Deputy Jeff Thompson here from the Racine County Sheriff's Office. If there's a better example of what first responders do, there may not be a better one than what happened on 9/11. When the people were rushing down the Twin Towers, the police officers and the firefighters were going up the stairs. What is in the mindset of a first responder like you guys are that allows somebody to do that for their fellow citizens?
I would just say public safety and looking out for everybody else, try and help other people, get them to safety, and really your own safety is secondary to other people that you're trying to help and get out.
What route did you take to being a deputy?
Well, back in elementary school, Deputy Friendly would come to our school quite often, and I was just impressed with him and how he held himself and how he would communicate with us, and it was something I always wanted to do. Took the proper avenues and actually grew up in Racine County and became a deputy with Racine, which is what I always wanted to do.
How important do you think visits from officer friendlies can help to help stem the antipathy towards the police department that we see in our society today?
I think it's a great help. It puts us in connection with kids in a positive light, and it just opens up that barrier between us and the children, and they can see that we're here to do good and be positive role models for them. And maybe inspire them to be officers one day.
You talked about the fact that first responders do this because their primary interest is in public safety. And that's really what you're here to talk about, is how to improve the chances of safety when there are situations that are on-road potential dangerous situations.
Correct.
How do we do that?
Well,
what should we do first? When you've got a problem and you've pulled to the side of the road, okay, what are the things that people should do first?
They should definitely stay inside their vehicle. Most people have cell phones these days. Use your cell phone, contact police, alert us so that there is a problem, and remain in your vehicle. Oftentimes we do see people, they exit their vehicle and they're standing outside, maybe looking under the hood. Wait for law enforcement to get there. We can provide a little bit of cover with our vehicle, a little bit of protection, a little bit of safety, so that somebody driving down the road doesn't hit you because they're not paying attention.
Did you see the video of this officer? I want to say it was in California, but she had pulled over to help somebody who was in their vehicle in an on-road emergency, and somebody lost control of their vehicle, smashed into the squad, which smashed into the car that she was helping. Did you see that?
I didn't see that video.
That was intense.
I have seen several videos like that on social media and things like that. With the high speed of travel on the interstate and then other roadways, you know, a vehicle isn't going to be protection for you. It'll be a little bit of cover, but it's our warning lights that is supposed to be there to alert people and get their attention and have them slow down. But
if you guys aren't there yet, I would imagine people should turn their hazards on at the very least.
Absolutely. Any lights that you have, even your interior lights, your hazard lights, keep your headlights on.
This is Glenn Klein on WRJAN's Community Conversation, brought to you by St. Monica's. When someone you care about needs a little help, maybe it's time to look into assisted living at St. Monica's. For over 45 years, St. Monica's has been providing compassionate, person-centered care for their residents on North Green Bay Road in Racine. St. Monica's really is like home, with great food, a loving staff, and lots of activities to participate. One of the things people love about St. Monica's is what, Mark?
The chapel.
The beautiful chapel, exactly. I'm glad you're paying attention. A Catholic Mass is held every day. They also host Protestant services, and all religious denominations are welcome. The move to assisted living is a big decision. Come see why so many feel that St. Monica's is the right choice. Visit stmonicasseniorliving.com to learn more. St. Monica's Senior Living on North Green Bay Road in Racine, where you are the heart of their home. Ever have any problems on North Green Bay Road?
I have not.
That's good. This is Glenn Klein. We've got Deputy Jeff Thompson from the Racine County Sheriff's Office in here, as well as Lieutenant Ed Lockhart of the South Shore Fire Department, and Mr. Racine, Mark Eichhorst.
You're talking about vehicle emergency situations, and a lot of times cars will get stranded in blizzards. You're used to that in snowstorms, flooding when we get some heavy rains. One of the worst things I've ever found to drive in, and had to pull the car over at one time, I was really worried, was fog. Do you have to deal with that much?
Occasionally we do. Fog can be very dangerous. The visibility is cut down, and the amount of space in front of you is cut down, and we do have problems with fog once in a while.
I was coming in Highway K. I had just come off the interstate. It was extremely foggy, and it was to the point where I drove on the shoulder of the road. I had two tires on the shoulder of the road and two on the highway because I could not see in front of me, and I was afraid to stop.
Sure. Well, I guess I would recommend that proceed with caution, and if it does get that bad, find a gas station parking lot, find a driveway, somewhere that you can get off the road and stay safe.
Lieutenant Ed, what about if somebody, let's just say their car is smoking.
Mm-hmm.
They're not smoking in their car. The car's smoking.
Right.
And
yeah.
the fire has not started yet. Then what should they do?
Then they're going to need to exit the vehicle, obviously, if they know there's a fire in their engine compartment or somewhere in their electric panel, in the dash or something like that. They would have to get out of the car safely and exit away from the vehicle as far as they can and away from traffic, essentially. If you're out on an interstate where you have a road barrier or something like that on the shoulder, you want to get on the other side of the barrier to make a buffer between yourself and any other oncoming vehicles or vehicles in your path.
We used to have a fleet of vehicles. I used to own a summer camp in Eagle River. Mm-hmm. And one of the American Camping Association credentials for being accredited was to have a fire extinguisher in every vehicle. What right. percentage of citizens, just normal everyday people driving around, do you think actually have fire extinguishers in their cars?
I wouldn't say there's a high percent. I'd definitely say ballpark figure less than definitely probably 25% that we come in contact with. And in most cases, in those situations, are actually friends in law enforcement. Can handle a lot of those smaller fires before we get on scene. They are more available than us because of the numbers that they have actually on the roads. So my recommendation, again, would be to exit the vehicle and, you know, get as far away from it as they can unless they are proficient, trained
extinguisher. So even if they have a fire extinguisher, just get the hell out of the way.
Yeah, and if they've been trained and they're comfortable using it and, you know, they know it's a smaller fire that they can handle, that's one thing, but for the average citizen, I think it would be safer to let trained professionals handle those events. Once you introduce oxygen into a fire by opening your hood or something like that, you can have a much larger event and put yourself in harm's way.
He's Lieutenant Ed Lockhart. He's with the South Shore Fire Department. We also have Deputy Jeff Thompson from the Racine County Sheriff's Office. And they did not participate in the Battle of the Badges, but we have fire. We have a law enforcement representative here. Okay, ready? Little arm wrestling championship right now.
Ready.
Let's do it. He's ready. Ed's ready. All right, here we go. Move the thing. Move the microphone.
We're doing this, huh?
Why not? All right.
I'm left-handed. Yeah, this is
you got to
right
put your
hand.
Elbow down. All right, on the count of three. Wait. I got to give a. This is the first responders, Racine County, arm wrestling championship. Between Lieutenant Ed Lockhart of the South Shore Fire Department and Deputy Jeffrey Thompson of the Racine County Sheriff's Department on three, one, two, three. It looks like it's a stalemate. Keep that elbow on the table. Breathe. Don't get hurt. It's a tie.
Yes.
Well,
think you went easy on me.
No bragging rights today.
You know, I think, did you come out last year? Because the South Shore Fire Department there in Franksville, located across from Franksville Park, one of their big fundraisers coming up in the first of the year again will be their chili cook-off. And that's for the Burn Camp of Wisconsin, and that's always a great event, too.
So especially the aftermath of a chili cook-off. There was a meme on Facebook today. It said, I'm going to clean it up, but it said, "But with the name of a movie, name what your last passing of gas sounded like." And I won that prize today. I said, "The Sound of Music."
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for coming in and for putting up with me, as I said. So, cheering for the Cubs, I'm sure.
100%.
Are you a Cubs fan, Jeff?
No.
Brewers?
No.
What?
Packers.
Yeah, that's football.
Right. But
you don't care about baseball?
No.
What about you, Ed?
I'm going to cheer for the Cubs because it would be great to see them win a World Series. I'm not a baseball fan myself, and we all know that the Cowboys are number one in our hearts and in our minds.
You and Dick Graceffa, our high school play-by-play guy, big Cowboys fan. That was a huge game last week for you guys.
Yeah, big game.
Well, the Packers have a huge early Christmas gift today, playing the Bears tonight at Lambeau Field. So I've got a big bet with the Kenosha County Executive Jim Cruiser on this game tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, he took the Packers. He wouldn't give me the points for the Bears, but we have a Kenosha brat as a wager.
There you go.
You like my chances?
I don't know.
Well, chances are it is not going to end up in a tie, even though it could theoretically, as your arm wrestling championship did. Thank you for coming in, guys, and thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Good to see you. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. The Community Conversations being brought to you by St. Monica Senior Living. Mark Eichors is here. The great Tom Karku is standing by in the news center with this WRJN news update. It will be preceded by a message from Pastor Milton Thompson.
Hi, this is Pastor Milt Thompson of Livingstone's Charismatic Fellowship. Church should be a place